Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, it's a good day to look good, Tommy. Tell us about today's Friday Fit.
Yeah, today's Friday Fit brought to you by our friends over at 3570 Golf Company. They are a local Wichita Midwest golf brand. Golf apparel, you're talking shirts and hoodies, head covers, hats. They've got it all for you today. I'm wearing this is the Cans of the Caw brand shirt here, and the great thing about it is that it's, you know, got the shape of the state of Kansas all over, but it's very subtle, and so you can take it out on the golf course. I can wear it in the office, can wear it to meetings, all of that. They're great. They're fantastic people, and if you are a golfer, you just want to look good, but you also want to represent this part of the country. That's really what they're doing. If you like, the whole Kansas Midwest feel, that's what they do for you over at 3570 Golf Co. You can go online, you can check out their entire selection of all their apparel, all their products, 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy right now. You can get 10% off your purchase.
There you go. Look good, feel good. It's a good day to look good and feel good. It's going to be like 50 degrees outside.
I might go play some golf today. I'm not sure everything's melted enough to be able to go and do that.
If we're going to get it melted today before we get that same temperature drop we were talking about for all these NFL playoff games. Weather affecting a lot of them. We'll have Felix Johnson in to talk a little Chiefs, to talk a little NFL playoffs. That's coming up in our next segment, so stay tuned for that. We've got a big college basketball weekend too, Tommy. Paul Mills talking yesterday. I do get the sense, just sort of, a vibe check that things have settled in after that win over Charlotte, which more than anything, the Shockers needed, I think, just to settle down a little bit. This has been an interesting year for a lot of reasons. One of them is, you know, the panic, I think, that was setting in, and I don't know how much it was setting in internally. I think it was to some degree, because Paul Mills was very visibly, you know, upset and not happy with the way the team was playing, and sometimes seemingly as confused as the rest of us were as to why this was happening. But there was a bit of panic, like, this can't be happening again. The team has gotten off to an 0-3 start in league play for what feels like a decade. And you had this great start to the non-con, several games where you feel really good about how you played, a few that made you scratch your head, but then you come out and you start 0-3, and two of those three are losses that you just kind of scratch your head at. They get back on track against Charlotte. It wasn't some like overwhelming performance, but for me, more than anything else in that game, Tommy, it was they got back to what they do. And the things that had began to really become a problem in that week and a half of bad basketball. I mean, how long was that really? You came out, they got back from the break. They went to Temple on January 3rd, and that was the start of. Not that the Temple loss on the road was a really bad loss. It wasn't. I mean, Temple beat Memphis last night, but the way that they played, you didn't like. So you had that on January 3rd. We're looking at, you know, between January 3rd and January 11th. That's 8 days for that panic to set in. A little more than a week. And everything was flipped upside down because of the way they were playing. That, I think, more than anything, you take out of the Charlotte game. They were much better defensively. They didn't turn the ball over at that insane clip that they were. And now maybe that was just an 8-day stretch that if we're being honest, if it came in the middle of the conference season, right, we'd be like, man, this is a little bit of a rough stretch here, this 8 days. But the fact that it became at the, that it came at the beginning again, I think is where that panic came from. And now they have a quick chance to get that turned around if they can handle their business at home tomorrow night.
Well, I look, I think that in some aspects of that statement, you're correct. You know, it started at the beginning of the conference slate instead of in the middle. And so, sure, that's absolutely going to heighten the panic because you're starting 0-3 in conference play. And, you know, once you get through Charlotte and East Carolina, you know the next couple of games after that are against the top of the conference in Memphis and North Texas. So I get all of that. I understand that. But it doesn't discount the fact that, you know, regardless if it's at the beginning or the middle of the conference season, they were playing terrible. Things that were just completely, not ideal whatsoever, and the opposite of the way that Paul Mills wants this team to perform on the court. So you can place that bad stretch wherever you want to in the course of the season. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. The bottom line was that during that stretch, the play and the effort and the intensity and all those different things that we've talked about during that stretch were so poor and so bad. And you know what? Look, they beat Charlotte earlier this week. That's great. I'm glad that they got a conference win. They still didn't play extremely well. They played good enough to win, and the win was important. The defensively, the effort was there, much better than what we had saw before, but it wasn't like they just flipped a switch and all of a sudden everything is, you know, all hunky-dory again. I don't think that's the case. Now, if they can win again tomorrow at home against East Carolina, then you're moving to 2-3 in conference play ahead of a tough stretch. You get two home wins this week. Hopefully they can continue on, carry that momentum into the Memphis and North Texas game. But, you know, look, I don't think you can explain away the bad stretch of basketball or downplay it by saying, well, if it was in the middle of the season, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. Well, no, they still played really terrible.
I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm trying to put into perspective the reasons for maybe a heightened sense of panic. And I think there's history there. There's history that we've seen this before. We saw it last year, right? You get optimistic and then they just fall apart in the conference schedule for some reason. That's where the panic's from. No, I'm not making excuses for a bad stretch of three basketball games. It was a terrible stretch of three basketball games that shouldn't ever happen. You don't want it to. I'm saying there were all these factors of like, this felt bad. Right. But it has a chance to feel normal again pretty quickly if they do what they need to do. No, they didn't play their best game against Charlotte. Charlotte's not very good. Charlotte's not a good 3-point shooting team, but you got to start somewhere. Right. And holding a team under 40% from three, which it had felt like a lifetime since they were able to do that, out rebounding a team and having fewer than 10 turnovers. All of the things that contributed to the three losses got better in the Charlotte game, got back to normal. And that's where I think you can start. Like let's start there and
lay
say
the foundation.
Okay. Maybe they're back on track. It's not even like the foundation has been there. They you don't beat K-State as bad as K-State's been this year. You don't beat them the way they beat them if you're a bad basketball team. And I don't think they ever were a bad basketball team. I think they were playing bad.
Would you say they were a good basketball team playing bad?
In relative terms of being where they should be in the American, yes. Like, good basketball team is relative. Like, NCAA tournament team, no. Good basketball team, improvement
from last year. A talented basketball team playing poorly.
In their lane, yes. And they were playing not just poorly. They were playing very poorly. Yeah. Like really, really bad. Their worst basketball of the season for three straight games. Now, it came over a very short amount of time. And so you hope that it's like, okay, whatever that was, that's gone. They're not going to win every conference game they play the rest of the way, I don't think. And that's okay. You just can't play like that consistently again. Like, That ability to do that cushion, that's gone now. Like you have to now bring it every night. And I think getting Ronnie DeGray back, I really do think that helps this team in all of the ways they were struggling, he should help them in all of those ways. That's a big piece coming back, and that will help.
If they can get a victory tomorrow against East Carolina, again, not a great team, but by any means.
Not a bad. They're not as horrible. Bad as Charlotte or UTSA.
But they're not great. Right. It's a winnable game at home in Coke Arena. At that point, you're 2-3 in conference play. You're playing Memphis. You're playing North Texas next week, right? So
you're playing Memphis and Tulsa. North Texas.
That's right. Memphis and Tulsa, and then North Texas after that. So if you can get the East Carolina and Tulsa game, at that point you're 3-3, and then between Memphis and North Texas after that, or around that same time, I think let's just say a 3-5 conference record as opposed to a 2-6 or 1-7 conference record through 8 games, that's a huge deal, and it starts tomorrow night with East Carolina.
Because of all the winnable games they'll still have on their schedule, I'll tell you that if they can get to 4-4, like if we're looking for things to sort of put on a like achievable goals that would be a lot. But if you can beat North Texas at home, like if you just win the ones you're supposed to, you don't win in Memphis, and then you find a way to beat North Texas at home. And now you're talking, right? Now we're 4-4 here again. Like you have that quality win on the schedule would become their best win of the year. And now you're talking a little bit. And I don't think that's out of reach by any means. Now, what we also on the flip side must fear is that it wasn't an 8-day aberration.
Right.
And that East Carolina comes in and plays well and is not a bad three-point shooting team like Charlotte was. I don't know if they are. They aren't. I haven't scouted East Carolina. My apologies. But then it could get worse. It could go the other way real fast. You could lose all of the reset energy that you might have goes away immediately if they don't play well against East Carolina. That there is some urgency, I think, this weekend, which will be fun to watch. It'll be fun to see them face that sort of urgency. Up in the Big 12, you've got K-State going to Lawrence to take on KU. Jerome Tang has done a pretty good job against Kansas historically, as good as anybody does. I don't see it. I don't know how they're going to hang in this one. Who do they have? Like, of all the things when we've seen Kansas have a hard time, it's seemingly when the opposition's got some beef, right? K-State doesn't have any beef. Their beef, Coleman Hawkins, sits on the outside the entire game. So I'm not sure there's much I can look at and be like, yeah, K-State could do X, Y, Z. Unless KU just plays like dog crap, I don't see a path for K-State here.
Well, they're going to need David Gasson to have a big game. I think Kansas State will need that for tomorrow. They're going to need him to have the same kind of rebounding effort that he had a couple of weeks ago when he pulled down 17 in that win against Cincinnati. That's going to be crucial. I mean, just essential for Kansas State. And, because Tim Fitzgerald talked about it yesterday, that Coleman Hawkins, when he was at Illinois playing Hunter Dickinson when he was at Michigan, Coleman Hawkins was always on Hunter Dickinson during that time. That may not be the way that Jerome Tang wants to deploy Hawkins and use him in this game.
May not be the
way Hawkins wants to actually play the game. Yeah. So regardless if that happens, you're going to need to lean on David Gasson, to be tough and to, hold firm in the paint and to get the rebounds. One concerning thing about Hunter Dickinson, and I watching the Iowa State game, and I'm not saying Kansas State and Iowa State are two completely different teams, obviously, and the talent level is completely different between those two programs. But I felt like Hunter Dickinson got bullied quite a bit in the post against Iowa State. And there were moments I'm watching that game the other night, and I'm like, man, Dickinson looks soft. He looks soft down there, and he's getting pushed around. And,
I hate that term, Tommy, but I've been telling you that.
He looks soft. He looks soft.
For 3 months.
He looked soft in that game.
He's looked that way to me.
And so,
he's looked slow. He's looked old.
Right.
He's looked old.
He kind of I saw somebody compare him to, like, the old man playing pickup ball at the Y.
Yes.
And so I'm not, again, suggesting that Kansas State has the dudes that like Iowa State does to be able to make Dickinson look soft and slow and all of that, but that's what they're going to have to do. And it's going to have to probably be on the shoulders of David Gasson tomorrow, I would imagine.
I mean, Hunter Dickinson even has the old man trot down the court.
He does.
Like when he's coming down in transition, it's the real stiff like legs, but I know that trot. That's the trot
that's
of like,
trot.
I don't want to, it's the trot of,
that's
I don't want to pull him. I don't want to pull a muscle when I'm coming down the other way. That's what that trot is.
That's the way I look when I chase after my kids. I'm like, I'm going to hurt myself really bad. Like, that's the same. We know that trot. I know it. The problem is,
men of a certain age all know that trot.
He's 24.
That's the trot.
He's 24.
I know.
We're pushing 40.
I always joke that he's old in relative terms. It's relative. But we also, and again, like, and I have thought what you, like, I have thought that all year long. He can also push people around like he did against UCF. And,
he has.
And so, you know, that's, and that, it's not just in this game. It's really all season. Like, KU, if they can figure that out, like, if they can figure out how to eliminate him being physically pushed around against teams, and there aren't a ton of them, but there are teams, especially in the Big 12, that can doing that, yet get him down where you need him to be offensively. That's the challenge right now for Kansas. And that's what, you know, just continue to watch. And Flory Badunga seems to be the way you can do it, but he's still so young and has to be able to stay on the floor, which he's, you know, he's struggled with that, as most freshman big men do. That's always going to be what we watch with Kansas. Can they utilize Hunter Dickinson's wildly talented offensive skill set, but limit his what seems to be growing defensive liabilities? And that's the challenge for Bill Self here. How does he do that? How do you take advantage of what he can bring you offensively, but limit what a team that's poised to do it can do to him defensively? And that's what Kansas has been all year. And that's why you look ahead to like a Houston game. Like, I'm terrified of that game for Kansas, because Houston looks like a bunch of football players out there, like they always look. And you know they're going to push people around.
I think it's a really good spot for Kansas this weekend to get right. I know Tim Fitzgerald said that yesterday, because you've got an opportunity, because there is a talent, you know, disparity between the two teams, or at least there's been a results disparity between these two teams this season, where I would love, I don't know if it's going to happen. Bill Self is notoriously stubborn with the way that he deploys his talent. I would love to see some different looks against Kansas State, because you've got kind of, I would think, that luxury at home against a team that is down like Kansas State. I would love to see a lineup on the court, a lot more of Dickinson and Badunga together on the floor. I typically don't like two big lineups, but I think that that has an opportunity to really be a thorn in the side of the Wildcats tomorrow. I would love to see a lineup where you're trying out, you know, different kinds of rotations of guards. I don't think you need DeJuan Harris in there a ton. I would love to see what it looks like if you're really leaning more on minutes from guys like Rylan Griffin and AJ Store to try to get them right. You have a, I'm not saying you,
well,
take your foot off the
gas. I think they're going to have to, because KJ Adams,
right?
I mean, we think KJ, I don't know if he'll miss. He hasn't missed time
ever
in 3 years. He missed, he missed that Sweet 16 game. And I think that's it. So yeah, but he may miss this.
But I would love to see different looks tomorrow that we maybe are not accustomed to seeing, or maybe we only see in flashes. I would love to see what it looks like for extended minutes in a game. And I think that you've got a little bit of an opportunity in a game against a Kansas State team that's down to be able to try that out.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, but yes, I mean, they may not have a choice, and that would be one thing, but I don't think there's going to be a Big 12 game where Bill Self rolls the dice like that, because they got to win as many of them as they can. They're not walking through the Big 12. They're going to really struggle to finish near the top or at the top.
But if you're going to find an opponent where you can maybe
and
tweak it and play around and experiment, it's going to be against K-State at home.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And they do need to figure it out, because if AJ Store's ever going to find it, boy, you'd sure like to see it. Yeah, all it is, all they need. Can you give us a defensive effort? Because Bill Self's never going to play somebody that doesn't do that. Can you just hit an open three? Like, that's it. Can Zeke Mayo not have to take 14 of them? Can somebody else hit some outside shots? We'll find out this weekend in the Sunflower Showdown. Felix Johnson joins us next. We're talking NFL football, including the Chiefs. Don't go away. Seven.